Well, good morning. Merry Christmas. It's so good to have you here. I love this service because it feels like family. And for all of you who are regular attenders, welcome. It is great to have you back. And thank you for getting to celebrate this with us. It feels like family in this place. And I love that. And for you who are our guests today, welcome. My name is Tim. And it's my joy to serve as a pastor here at Centerpoint Church, and it's great to have you with us. Hopefully, you've received a warm welcome as you came through the door, and as you leave, there's a gift for you, and we're blessed that you chose to be at one of our weekend services today. So thank you so much for coming. If you brought a Bible today, we invite you to Luke chapter 2, very familiar passage. And you know, when you think about Christmas, Christmas is a lot about stories. How many of you have been watching the Hallmark stories, right? Now, come on, let me see. All right, out there. But whether it's, I see that. Somebody got excited. Whether it's, Fella Lifetime or whether you're watching, all those different things, it's pretty amazing. And so I was thinking about this last night. I kind of woke up really early this morning. And so I was downstairs and I turned on Hallmark for a moment because nothing else was on. And I was watching and I started to think about how the effect that has had on our culture. You know, I don't know about you, but, you know, you think about stories, and all throughout Christmas, you see all these stories, and they kind of are all the same actresses, same actors, you know, snow, kiss at the end, right? But we expect everything to work out in a certain way. And you know what my fear is? My fear is that we as Christ followers, even though we know this is the story, we treat it the same. It just becomes one of the stories that kind of make up Christmas. But I want to remind you today, this is not just another made-up story. This is the story of Christmas. This is why we are here today. Luke chapter 2 says, "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken in all the inhabited earth. And this was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register the census, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which was called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and of the family of David, in order to register, along with Mary, who was engaged to him, and was with child. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths, and she laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there appeared with the angel a whole skyful, a whole multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.' And when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let's go straight to Bethlehem and let us see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they came in a hurry and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he was lying in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at these things that were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured those things, pondering them in her heart. So the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them." The story of Christmas. This whole series, we've been talking about and kind of basing it on one verse. It's found in Galatians chapter 4. It says, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son." We've been talking for the last several weeks about how Jesus' birth changed everything. We talked about the first week how Jesus' birth changed history. How prophets told that Jesus would come, where he'd be born, all about him, and all of that came true, and how people from all the way back to Eve looked forward to the Redeemer, the Messiah that would come. Last week, we talked about how Jesus' birth changed a family, how it affected Mary and Joseph and their families, and how it can change a family like yours or mine. But today, we want to talk about how Jesus' birth changed the world, and literally how it can change a person like you or me. Have you ever received a birth announcement? I put one on the screen for you. This is little Aiden Francis. I have no idea who Aiden is, but he looks really great, right? You've got one of those in the mail before and put it up on your fridge, right? Well, when I was looking for this, I actually ran into a couple I had to show you. Check this one out. I like this one a lot. She doesn't look real happy about the birth of her new sibling coming. Or how about this one? You know, he was feeling okay about her, and then all of a sudden he got kind of sick when he realized what was going on. Or check this one out. She's excited, isn't she? She's going to become the big sister. And then this one may be my favorite. I mean, when you begin to think about birth announcements, right? What they really look like. Well, in Luke chapter 2, in the passage that I just read that you're very familiar with, the shepherds get a birth announcement. That's literally what Luke 2 is about. A birth announcement from the angels. The shepherds get it and we get it too. And it's one that all of history was looking for and almost all of history missed. Let me show it to you again. It's in Luke 2. It says, "But the angels said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.'" That's a birth announcement. And as you walk through this, you begin to understand the power in it. You see that, first of all, the angels said to the shepherds, "We bring you good news of great joy." Good news. You see, mankind had been searching ever since the beginning of time. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and sin came into the world, and immediately a little sin went a whole way, and we saw a whole lot of things happen. We go from Genesis 3, Adam and Eve sinning, to Genesis 4, one brother killing another, to Genesis 5 and 6, the world being destroyed by a flood, and so on it goes. All of the world looked forward to this. And now the angels announce to the shepherds, "Listen up, this is good news. This is the gospel. This is great joy." Mankind had been searching. We'd searched in all different types and forms of government. We'd searched in philosophy and knowledge, thought if we could just learn more. There were many so-called saviors that came on to the scene, none of them delivering. And all of those attempts had failed. But these shepherds were the first to hear the good news of great joy that was coming to earth. Because the Bible says, this passage, this birth announcement says, "For I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." I love that. I love the fact that it's for all the people. If you were here the first week, we talked about this. This fulfills the promise that God made to Abraham, and then Abraham on the Mount of Promise, where he said, "You're going to have descendants like the sand of the seashore, like the stars of the heaven. And from you, all of the earth, all of the nations of the earth will be blessed." And now the angel is telling the shepherds, it's for all the nations, for all the people, fulfilling God's promises. I love it. Literally, the angel said there are no restrictions to this good news. Now look what he says. For today, he says, "For I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today," he says, "in the city of David." I love that. This birth announcement says it's right now. It's the time has finally come. And the shepherds recognized that it was for them at that moment. Because think about this. They had looked forward to this for thousands of years. And now the time has arrived. For today, in the city of David, in Bethlehem. We talked about Bethlehem. Just a little path, a little spot in the road, right? Not a very big town, not a very wealthy place. He says, "Today in Bethlehem." Then look at this. "There has been born for you." Now, you know, when you think about this, I mean, God could have made the announcement of his birth and in a royal place. He could have announced it in Rome or Alexandria or Athens. It could have been, you know, a really big deal. But think about this. I wonder how it made those shepherds, one of the lowest vocations on the totem pole, I wonder how they felt that they were the first to hear. And not only did they hear, but it was, I love this, for today is born, I like the text, for you. What a cool thing. I wonder how that impacted those shepherds. I wonder how it made them feel. And I wonder how that impacts you today. That Jesus has come for all of us. I love this. Good news of great joy. It's for everybody, for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you what? A Savior. That's the crux of the whole thing, isn't it? You should draw a circle around that because that's the message of Christmas. A Savior who is Christ the Lord, the Messiah, the one you looked for, the one you longed for. What a birth announcement. Can you imagine what it must have been like? And the passage says they rushed to Bethlehem and told Mary and told Joseph all about what they had seen and all about what they had heard. But as you read this birth announcement, as I said a moment ago, the main thing, you see a lot in it, but the main thing is that we have a Savior. And so you begin to ask yourself, what is a Savior and why do I need one? Well, the word Savior just simply means deliverer or rescuer. If you could imagine for just a moment, if somehow you got lost, maybe you were lost at the gorge and you didn't know where to go and it was getting dark, or maybe you even lived through one night there and you were scared and somehow I came in there and I figured out where you were. If I found you and brought you out, I would be your rescuer. I would have saved you, maybe even saved your life. Or imagine if you were a prisoner of war. I can't even imagine what that would be like. And you were held by people and you thought you were going to die at any moment. And somehow, you know, we busted through and we came to where you were and we freed you and brought you home and rescued you. That's what a Savior is. A Savior is a rescuer. It's somebody who comes to our need when we're in a desperate spot and meets us right where we are. So the greatest question today is what did we need to be delivered from? Why did we need to be rescued? Why did all of history look forward to a Savior, a Messiah, a rescuer coming? Why did this baby change the world, and how does he change you? Well, to find the answer to that, we go back to another word from an angel. It's in Matthew chapter 1, and it says this, you're familiar. It says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. This is Joseph. And said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Now here's our key. For he will save his people from their sins. A Savior is born to you. To save me from what? He will save his people from their sins. The word save, again, means to deliver or to bring freedom and from the sins, from the brokenness, from the damage that sin produced at the fall and all the way through to today. So what is the gospel? What does the birth of Jesus matter for? Why does it save us? What does it save us from? Today, for just a moment, I want you to think about three very brief things as you celebrate Christmas. First, Jesus came to save you and I, to save us from sin's prison. Sin's prison, sin's grip, sin's hold on us. You know, when I use the word addiction, there's not one person in this room who doesn't understand the concept. Reality is, some folks in this room understand it a lot better than others, and many of us at least understand it a little bit in our lives because we've had something that we felt kind of held by, and some of us in this room have felt it a lot. There's others in this room who have had a loved one, have had somebody you care greatly about, who's tried to quit something, but it seems to have a hold on them, a grip on them. They seem to be in prison. That's what sin does. And Jesus came, the Savior came to save us from sin's prison, sin's control. Let me ask you, have you ever felt trapped by your failures? Have you ever felt trapped by your sin? Have you ever felt like you were in a place and didn't know how on earth you could get out? Often describe it as sometimes it feels like you're in a dirt hole, and the more you try to climb out, the more the dirt seems to fall in and you don't know where to turn. Maybe some of you feel that way today. Maybe you walked in here today with a smile on your face and a cup of cocoa in your hand from outside there. Enjoy because it's Christmas, but when you stop and think and it gets quiet like it is right now, you begin to have all that pressure come back because you know that you feel more like a prisoner than someone that's free. That's what sin does. And Jesus, the Messiah, came to save us from sin's prison, its grip on us, to save his people from their sins. The second idea is that the Messiah, Jesus, came not only to save us from sin's prison, but he came to save us from sin's power. Sin has power over us. It affects us. Consequences, influence. You know, it's funny. Sin is a whole lot of fun when we do it, right? If it wasn't fun, we wouldn't do it. We do things because we enjoy those. But have you noticed the horrible consequences that come afterwards? It's amazing. Ask any person who drinks too much how they feel the next morning. Or ask a girl who ends up pregnant or a husband who gets caught in an affair. Consequences can be absolutely brutal in our lives. And maybe today you're dealing with some of those consequences. Maybe you're struggling through the power that sin has over you. Jesus, the Messiah, came to free us from sin's power that it holds on us. And then not only sin's prison and sin's power, but Jesus, the Messiah, came to free us from sin's penalty. That's why the angels were excited. That's why the shepherds were excited. That's why we celebrate Christmas. That's why this story matters so much, because there's a penalty for our sins. You see, the Bible tells us that all of us are born sinners. And when you have if you have a child, you know and understand. If you have a brother or sister, you really understand what it means to be born like this, right? Nobody has to teach us how to do wrong. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they passed down through the bloodstream this thing called a sin nature, and all of us are born with it. We can't run from it. The reason that we are held by sin's power and by sin's prison is because it is born in us from the time we open our eyes for the first time. But the Bible goes further and tells us about the penalty for it. In Romans 6:23, it gives us the judgment. It says the wages or penalty for our sin is death. And the word death there doesn't mean death just like you're buried and put in the ground. It means eternal death, eternal separation from God forever in a place that was never made for you or I. That's what sin holds. It not only holds us in prison, it not only has power over us, but ultimately it has a severe penalty that will cost us everything. And that's why Jesus came. That's the message of Christmas. That's the message of the gospel. Because Jesus' birth brought change. Jesus' birth brought freedom. Jesus' birth brought hope. This is why this birth announcement, this is why the angels would say, this is good news. This is great joy. This is for all the people. For born to you today, this miracle child that would change things, that would be a savior, that would save his people from their sins, people like you and people like me. And it's the same thing that brings, that sin holds today and brings in our lives. Fact is, the message of Jesus coming to us today brings us freedom. It brings us freedom from sin's hold on our lives. Well, we feel held by sin. We feel captured by sin. And the message of Jesus brings us freedom from that. It brings us freedom from sin's effects in our life. It allows us to say no to the things that are hurting us in our families. And the message of Jesus coming brings us freedom from sin's penalty in our lives. It frees us from us having to pay for our sin ourselves forever in a place of eternal separation, a place not made for us. All of that because Jesus came. Now, I know you know that, but I hope today you will walk out of here feeling different, and you'll be reminded of this great birth announcement, of this great story. Because, church, listen, 5 minutes before the birth of Jesus in the world, everything was completely different. And Jesus coming, Jesus' birth changed everything. Jesus' birth brought hope to a world. If you're here today and you've never come into a personal relationship with God through Jesus. Maybe you believe in Jesus. Maybe you've heard this story 100 times. You know it. You've even told your kids or told others this story. But if you've never personally come into a relationship with Jesus, let me just quickly tell you how you can be saved from your sins, how you can have this guilt and power and shame removed from you. You see, just knowing it is not enough. The Bible says, as I said earlier, that all of us are sinners and that the wages of that sin is death or hell. But Jesus came, as we just talked about, and he was born. And that's not the end of the story. He lived a perfect life, and he died on a cross, and he rose again so that we could come into a relationship with him. And how you do that is for you to simply just realize that you're a sinner and just believe in Jesus, that he's God's son, that he came and he died and he rose for you. And it takes a personal invite for you to receive Jesus, for you to ask him, would you please come into my life and forgive me of my sins? I know when I was 7 years old, I asked Jesus to do that. And you know, right where you are today, you can pray right in your seat and you can say to God, God, I know I've sinned and I believe in you, Jesus, and I want you into my life. Will you please bring me hope? Will you please bring me life change? Will you please save me? You could do that right where you are. And if you've already come into a relationship with God through Jesus, but you've allowed yourself to get tangled up in sin again, and even though you've been delivered from it and you've met the Messiah, the one who came to save his people from their sins, it feels like you haven't, because you can feel the effects of addiction, or you can feel the effects of sin's hold in your life. I want you to realize today that Jesus' birth means freedom for you too. That you can confess your sin to God, that you can say to God today, you can admit, God, I've drifted from you. And today at Christmas, hearing this birth announcement, I want to be back in an intimate friendship, relationship with you. And you can ask Jesus to cleanse you, and you can be restored. That's the message of Christmas. That's why a baby changed the world. And my prayer is that he will change you right where you are. Would you pray with me? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want you to take just a moment. And I want you to think about where you're at. Has there been a time and a place in your life when you came into a personal relationship with God through Jesus? Do you remember when you asked Jesus to come into your life and forgive you of your sins and be your Savior? If you do, that's an awesome thing. But if you're here today and you're not sure that if you died, you'd go to be with Jesus, can I just invite you right now in the quietness of this moment to just say a simple prayer to God? There's no certain words to say, but for you to just ask him, tell him you know that Jesus is God's son, that you know you've sinned, that you believe that he came to earth and he died and rose for you. And then just ask him if he would please come into your life at this Christmas season and change you. It's what you've been looking for. It's what will free you from that hopelessness and bring freedom in your life. That's why the Messiah came. That's why Jesus came, to save people from their sins. Invite him in right now. And if you're here today and you are a Christ follower, but you have allowed sin to get you all tangled and twisted up, today you can repent of that sin. You can go to God right now and you can tell him, God, I'm sorry for that, and I want to be restored. And you can ask him to bring about that restoration in your life.